We're holding at the bottom of an Involva Modalis, the two dots, second line from the bottom. The Mishnah said, V'chein ha'bo alachas mikol ha'arayas. That so also, the Mishnah said, anybody who has relations with any of the arayas, or any of the women who are possible to Kohuna, then he makes her possible to, then he makes her possible for Kohuna. Which means either that, which means that he, it means he makes her, if she was a Bas Koyin, then if she was a Bas Koyin, then she's no longer allowed to eat Truma. If she's any Bas Yisrael or Bas Koyin, then at that point she's considered a Zayna and is not allowed to marry a Koyin. So, Amar Rav Amram, Hom Milsa Amalon Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet told us the following din, V'an Harinu La'ainin, and then he enlightened our eyes, Machnissin from our Mishnah. Meaning he showed how our Mishnah expresses, in brief, this din that he taught us. What is the din? Eshes Yisrael Shenansa, the wife of Yisrael who was raped, even though she remains mutter to her husband, because as the Gemara is going to bring soon, the relevant psukim, that a woman who's raped does not become also to her husband by that. V'hila nisposa. It was against her will. Yeah.
Her will.
But so even though she's allowed to remain married to her husband, psula lekohuna. Nevertheless, she's possible to kohuna. Meaning, if her husband dies at that point, if her husband dies thereafter, she can't marry a kohen. That was the din. V'tana tuna, and we see that our Tana teaches something as follows. He says in the Mishnah, "V'chein habo alachas v'kol arayis hamuris patera." If somebody has relations with any of the arayis, oipsulois. Or any of the women who are possible to kohuna, and an eshes ish is one of the arayas. And we're saying that and now when we say v'chein, so it is also my love v'loishan abeshogig v'loishan abeizid v'loishan abeonis v'loishan abeirotin. Presumably the v'chein is referring back to the previous part of the Mishnah, that it doesn't matter what the intent was, whether it was v'shogig v'meizid etc. Just like by Yibum, we say that it's effective for Yibum. So also, we would say over here that if somebody has relations with Arayis, it doesn't matter whether it's B'shogig, B'mezid, etc., because Tani P'sola. And the Mishnah continues that he makes her possible Mina Kohuna. That then she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So thus the Mishnah proves the point that Rav Sheshet made. That regardless of what happened, even if it was against her will, she's not also to her husband, but she is possible to Kohuna. No, it's not a stira. It supports what we just said.
She's the ones. Yeah, right.
Yes. The answer is no. Loi, not necessarily. My v'chein, ahara. No, you could say that the v'chein is not referring to the part of the Mishnah that's talking about intention. It's referring to ahara versus marbia. That even ahara is enough to make her apostle. The question is, ahara deman. Okay, what kind of ahara are we talking about that the Mishnah would say v'chein? Ilema da'arayas. You're telling me that the Mishnah would be starting by saying that Hara works by a Yavama. And similarly, Hara works, meaning is effective, by Arayas.
It wouldn't be more appropriate.
No, it's not a filu, but the problem is, as Lememra da'arayas yafinin mi Yavama, what are you telling me, that we're deriving that Hara works by Arayas from the fact that it works by Yavama? Adarabha, it's on the contrary. Yavama yafinin mi Arayas. We learn Yavama from Arayas, the Ikur Hara Barayas. Primarily, where does it say Hara? We said the other day, it says by Isha, by Nida, and by a couple of the other Arayas. And we learn from that, by a series of Zeta Shavas, that it applies to Yavama as well. So what would the Mishnah's V'chein mean if it meant that? Elamai V'chein, Ashaloi Kedauka, Darayas. So what, you're going to tell me the V'chein refers to the fact that the Mishnah said that by Yibum, Kedauka or Shaloi Kedauka works? So you'd be telling me the Mishnah would be saying V'chein, the same thing applied to any of the other Arayas, whether he does Kedauka or Shaloi Kedauka, that would pass over.
Why would the second V'chein mean?
There's only one V'chein.
No, but I mean, this interpretation.
Well, that's the thing. We're trying to figure out what the V'chein means. The Mishnah had started by saying a din about Yibum. Then it says V'chein, and the Mishnah mentioned several different din about Yibum. Number one, that it applies regardless of intent, B'shogig, B'mezid, etc. Number two, Hara or Gmar Bia. And number three, L'chilik Ben Bia L'Bia, meaning Kedarka or Shaloi Kedarka. We're trying to figure out which one does the V'chein refer to. So we're trying to say, so Rav Amram had said that Rav Sheshet proved his point by appealing to our Mishnah, by saying that the Vachain of our Mishnah refers specifically to, refers to the first part of the Mishnah, B'shogeg B'mezid, etc. We're trying to test that. We're trying to say that, no, maybe not. Maybe it means the second. Maybe it means the second din, Hara versus Marbiya. And the answer is we can't. Then the Mishnah is backwards, because we learn Hara primarily by Arias, and secondarily from that we learn by Yavama. The Mishnah wouldn't say Vachain and so also, as if we mainly know it from Yavama. So maybe let's try the third one, that maybe it refers to the Shaloka Darka, Shaloka Darka Darayas, that maybe you would say the Mishnah is implying that it, the same way as by Yibum, Kedauka or Shaloka Darka works, so it is also by Arayas. Again, same problem. The word Mishkeve Isha, which is where we learn Shnei Mishkavis Be'isha, that Kedauka and Shaloka Darka have the same effect by Halacha, as by Arayas. Well, it's actually not by a regular Arayas, it says by Zohar, but whatever, it's in that parasha.
To
Yibum, exactly.
Yeah.
Ela Mai Vachena Shaloi Kedauka Dechayvi Lavin. So no, what you could say though is you could answer that the Vachena of the Mishnah is referring to not really to the Arayas. It's mentioning the Arayas sort of as an incidental thing. It's saying that Vachena, just as it is with Yibum, so it is also with the Chayvi Lavin. The Mishnah, because the second part of the Mishnah said, "V'chein haba alachas mikol arayis shabatora opsulos kigoyin al monal lekayin gadol grusha v'chalutz lekayin hadiyot etc." Primarily, in other words, what we'd be saying, the V'chein is referring to that group, the ones that are also only under an isur lav, not isur kares or misses based in like the arayis. Those we would be saying, we could say on that, we could say that the V'chein refers to that. How do we know by those that shaloi kadaka works? We don't really know it directly. Once we know it by yibum, then fine, we know it by them also. So therefore, so in other words, the bottom line is Rav Sheshet's din may well be true, and it is, and we'll talk about soon. We'll talk about soon what the halacha is, but we can't prove it. We can't unequivocally prove it from our mission. Yeah. No, it's a din. Rav Sheshet had this din, the Kabbalah from his teachers, but we can't. When Rav Amram had said Va'arinu L'ainin Me'asnisin, that he enlightened our eyes by pointing to the Mishnah. Not necessarily. You could understand the Mishnah that way, but you could also understand it differently. Omar Rava. Rava says, or on the side it says Rava actually. Eishes Kohen Shenensa, the wife of a Kohen who is Nenas, who is raised. Baila, loika Allah Mishum Zaina. Her husband, if he continues to stay married to her and have relations with her, is going to get Malkus for the fact that she is a Zaina. Because Zaina, that we're going to talk about soon, we're going to have in a few days a whole Mishnah and a whole Gemara on it that explains what is the definition of Zaina in Halacha. Now, we usually think of, you know, we usually learn, you know, when we're younger, that a Zaina, you know, a Benzonah, like they say in Hebrew, you know, like a loose woman, a prostitute, whatever, yeah. That's not, in Halacha terminology, the term for that kind of thing is a Kadesha. Someone who is available for anybody to have relations with, basically. A zayna in Torah terminology means somebody who's had relations, according to most Tanoim, anyway, there's a machlok of Tanoim on it later, but according to most Tanoim, it means a woman who's had relations with somebody who is also to her. Which what the exact degree of issu is, that we're going to be talking about. But anyway, so now this woman has been raped. That was a BS issue because the other person was not allowed to have relations with her. Therefore, apostles are for a kohen, and therefore, at that point, her own husband is going to be getting malchus because the Torah says isha zayna v'chalola lo yikachu, and she's an isha zayna at this point. Question is, mishum zayna ein mishum tumalai. What are you telling me? He would only get malchus because of the issue of zayna? Shouldn't he also be getting malchus because of tumah? Meaning, in other words, the fact that this is an Ashish who had relations with somebody else, she becomes Tomei for her husband. Now we're going to talk about soon that with a Yisrael's wife, the Torah distinguishes between whether she was raped or not, whether it was against her will or not. With a Kohen, the Torah doesn't make any such distinction. Therefore, the Isser Acharei Asher Tamar should apply to the Kohen as well, and therefore we should get double Malkus in this case if he stays with her. The answer is, you're right. The Ema Achmishum Zayna, you're right. What he means to say is he would get double Malkus at this point because of Tumah and because of the specific issue of Zayna that's said by a Kohen. Meforshim discuss, is Rava disagreeing with Rav Sheshet? because Rav Sheshet had talked about the case of an Eishes Yisrael who's raped, that later on she can't marry a Kohen. Here we're talking about an Eishes Kohen herself. Maybe that would seem to imply that Rabba might hold that no, an Eishes Yisrael who was raped, since she's mutter to her husband, she will eventually be mutter to a Kohen as well if her husband dies. As opposed to an Eishes Kohen, right. Some Mephoshim take it that way. Other Mephoshim say that, no, he's mentioning Eishes Kohen because we want him to talk about this thing of Zona and Tumah, which you wouldn't have if she hadn't been married to the Kohen at the time. There wouldn't be the issue of Tumah, only of Zona. But that he would agree that it applies to an Eishes Yisrael as well. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, according to that understanding, or according to Rav Sheshet, however you want to look at it, that yes, it applies to an Eishes Yisrael as well. A woman who had any kind of bias iser. On top of this, actually, there's another machlok that's showing him as well, whether this applies only to an Eishes Ish, or whether it applies across the board to any woman who's had relations with somebody, even if it was ba'onis, even if it was against her will, where that person is also to her, and we have to clarify, by the way, when we say also to her, we don't mean, for example, let's say you have an unmarried woman has a one-night stand with a man, where she's not married. That's not considered a zona, because as long as that man is Jewish, and as long as he's not a mamzer or what have you, he would be able to marry her, he would, halacha, be able to marry her, so his bia does not make her a zona. The only kind of bia that makes her a zona is with someone who she's not allowed to, at that point, have relations or have kiddushin with. So an Eishes Ish would be anybody else in the world except her husband. A regular woman, it would be, for example, a mamzer any kind of bia where there's at least a lav and where it applies across the board to everybody, not just a kohen.
Does she have to know that he's an
Amnon there
if she doesn't know?
If she doesn't, so that's the thing. So there are Rishonim who want to say that this Gemara that we're talking about over here, that a woman who's Nanas is also to a Kohen, that only applies to an Eishes Ish, maybe, based on our Gemara over here. Maybe it doesn't apply to other kinds of Arayas. A person, a woman, let's say, was raped by one of her close Arayas, maybe that wouldn't pass her to a Kohen. Again, the Halacha is not like that, though. The Halacha is that it applies across the board. Any Bia, of the kind that is also by a lav or greater, and that applies to the whole Jewish people, not just to Kohenim. So then that bia makes her a zayna and also to a Kohen, whether it was willingly or unwillingly. So Masir Rav Zera, so Rav Zera asks a question from a braisa. The pasuk says by a soita, but he loin nispasa, that if she was not grabbed, meaning she was not forced, she was not forcibly raped, then she becomes also to her husband, if we know she became Tomei, Hamit Pasam or Teres, which implies, though, that if she had been grabbed, if she had been raped, she would be Mutter. But, continues the Blight, but you have another case where even though a woman was raped, nevertheless she's also the Ezuzu Eishes Kohen. Namely, that is an Eishes Kohen. Now, the problem that Rav Zera is having is the Pasuk, the Hilo Nispasa, is not a lav, it's a statement of fact. In the description of a sota, what makes a woman a sota is what makes a woman also to her husband is the hilo in its pasta, that she became tummy and there was no forcing, there was no violation, there was no rape involved. That would be an essa, and the implication from it that therefore that a kohen is not allowed to, that hanis pasta asura, would be a lava baba kal essa. The lava baba kal essa essa.
She was without being forced.
No, we're saying that if she was forced, we're saying if it's the Yisrael's wife, then she's fine, she's mother to him. If she's a Kohen's wife, she's not. But that's not a lav. The Torah does not say in so many words there, a Kohen may not stay married to his wife, even if he needs pasa. The Torah doesn't say that. So therefore, it's only an essa. And by implication, a lav from it. Well, a lava baba kal essa essa. Essa. So then why are we saying that the Kohen would get double Malkus for Tuma and for Zayna? Zayna, fine, I can understand, because the Torah actually says, in so many words, Isha Zayna v'chalol lo yikachu. But again, the Torah never says about a Kohen, Isha Tmeya lo yikachu, or whatever. So, yeah. Omer Rabba, no, it's like this, Rabba says, Hakol hoyu b'chalol Zayna, there's a general thing, there's a general category called a Zayna. any case where a woman had relations with somebody else when she's married, again, whether onus or rotten or whatever, is called a zayna. But then, when it comes to a Yisrael's wife, by the case of the Sotah over there, the Torah implies there that if she was not raped, that's when she becomes also her husband. Meaning, if she was raped, she's not also to him. So that accepts him from that general rule. The Yisrael now is not chayev on her because of Zayna. Mikal the Eishes Kayin, Kedekayim Akayimah. So in Eishes Kayin, the original issue of Zayna still remains. So you're right, maybe you don't get two malchus on it. You don't get malchus for tumah because maybe you don't have, according to this, because you don't actually have an explicit law over there that says that he's not allowed to have relations with her after the tumah. But what it is, what we're saying, by Yisrael, the fact that it was ba'onis removes the status of Zoyna from her, it takes her out of the klal of Zoyna, but an Eishes Kayin remains in that status of Zoyna.
Why the difference? So.
It's because of Kohen, it says Isha Zayna v'chalav lo yikachu. Yeah. The Ikadamri, another version of the last discussion, is Amar Rabba, Isha's Kohen Shenansa, Kohen's wife who was raped, by lo loika ala mishum tuma. According to the second version, he doesn't say mishum Zayna. He says he's loika on her because of tuma. And the question is, mishum tuma ain mishum Zayna loy? Are you implying that he only gets malchus because of the tumah, not because of the shame zayna? Alma ba'onis lekodinu be'zayna, which implies that if it was ba'onis, we don't call her a zayna. On this, Masiv Rav Zera. So Rav Zera asks on this from the same braisa. V'hilonit pasa, asura, that if she wasn't raped, she's asur. Hanit pasa muteres, which implies if she was raped, she's muter. V'yesh l'chayar cheres shafavishinit pasa asura. But you have another case where even though she was raped, she's still asur. V'ezu, zu eishes koyin, and that would be an eishes koyin. And again, the lava bava call esse. It's only a lava bava call esse. There's only the statement of fact, which has the force of an esse. The lav that we're inferring from it that she's considered afavishin et pasa asura is only a lav above a kol hesa. So why are you giving him malchus? According to the second version, we're only doing mishum tuma. But where are we getting mishum tuma? According to the second version, where are we getting that he should be high of mishum tuma? Because it seems that it's only a lava bam kalase. And on this, Amar Rava, or Rabba, it's like this. Hakol hoyu b'chwal acharei asher tamar. There's a different pasuk that we haven't been talking about yet. There's a pasuk that we talked about it in previous Gemaras, about the case of Machzik Rushase, where a person divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, and now he wants to remarry her, and the Torah says that's not allowed. And we learned back in the first parak that the Torah uses an expression there at the end of that section that says that he's not allowed to marry her, he's not allowed to remarry her achrei asher hu tamar, after she was made tamid. And we learned in the first parak that this is l'rabis soita shenistera, that this comes to include that a soita who was secluded becomes also to her husband at that point until she drinks the soita water. So we see that we see that achrei asher tamar refers to this kind of thing, and there you do have an explicit law. Because it says lo yuchabal arishin asher shulcha, etc. Achrei asher tamar. So everybody was included in that. By rights, if you only had that pasuk, you would say that everybody, when their wife becomes tamei, meaning even by rape, they become asur. She becomes asur to him. But then the Torah spells out by Parashat Soita that says that implies that if nitpasa she would not be asur to a Yisrael. So therefore, in Eishes Kayin, she retains her. It's not a question of Zayna according to the second lashon. You're right. Maybe we wouldn't consider her a Zayna, but we will definitely say that she. We will definitely say that there's tumah, and you do have an actual lav there. It's not just a lav above the call essa of v'hiloy nitpasa. It's an actual lav achre lo yuchal achre ushar tamal. So therefore, he can get malchus on that basis because the Torah did not make the exception for a Kayin to say that there should ever be an exception to the Achrei Asher Tamar rule for him, as opposed to Yisrael by saying in Parashas Sotah he learned in Pasa, the Torah implies that for Yisrael there was a difference.
So it's all inclusive for a Kohen.
No,
Yisrael.
No, so we're saying that the same din really would encompass everybody, but the Torah, but the one in Parashas Kisei would encompass everybody. The Torah makes an exception. The Torah carves out an exception for it in Parashas Nasai, but only for Yisrael. So therefore, Kohenim are still under, are still bound by the rule in Kisese, and therefore they get Malkus. Mishnah says, I mentioned yesterday that from here on, for a while, we're going to be digressing really from the topic of Yibum. Since we talked about in the previous Mishnah, we talked about the various women who are possible to marry a Kohen. I'm one of the Kohen Gadol, Grush of Chalutz of the Kohen Hedyot. So our Mishnahs are going to continue on that theme and talking about how that relates to the woman eating Truma, which we discussed briefly in yesterday's Gemara. So here the Mishnah is going to talk about it, and then from there we're going to go on to various other topics about Kohenim, and eventually to other topics about Kiri Verivia and so forth. The Mishnah says, Almona Kohen Gadol, and Almona is Nis'aris to a Kohen Gadol. We're not talking that she didn't marry, she didn't do full Nisurin, let alone Bia yet. They just did Eirusin. Oh, Grusha V'chalotz of a Kohen Hedyot. No, that's what it is. We're going to have in the next line, Mina Eirusin. Grusha V'chalotz of a Kohen Hedyot, or if it's a Grusha or Chalotza, that's Nis'aris to a Kohen Hedyot, Mina Eirusin, and so forth, only Mina Eirusin. Lo Yoichlo B'Truma. They're not allowed to eat Truma from the point of that Kedushin and on. Now, what are we talking about over here? Rashi brings two explanations. One is that we're talking over here about a bas kohen. So up until now, she was entitled to eat truma on the basis of the fact that her father is a kohen. This is called in halacha truma de bein nasha, the truma from her father's house, from her house as a young lady. Now, if she was not a grusha or chalutza or what have you, and she was engaged to a kohen, Midrash says, we said yesterday, she would be able to eat truma at that point. And even Midrabanan, she could continue eating truma de Beit Nasha from her father's truma. And once she does Nisuin, fine, she'll be able to eat truma from her husband as well. Here, though, she's possible Kohona. So explanation number one of Rashi is that we're talking about a Bas Kohen. Once she's Nis'aris, once she's Niskadish to somebody who she's also to be married to, for example, she's an Amana and she's engaged to the Kohen Gadol, then she's also to eat truma at that point. The kedushin themselves possible her from eating truma. Rashi later on brings the kedushin achal, of course, because it's only an isulav. According to Rabbi Akiva, they wouldn't be chal, because according to Rabbi Akiva, in kedushin tofes in b'chayv elavim. But according to everybody else, kedushin are tofes b'chayv elavim. Yeah. Yeah. Later on, and then based on a couple of lines in the Gemara, Rashi brings a second explanation that we're talking about over here about a bas Yisrael. We're talking about a bas Yisrael. We mentioned yesterday that midraisa normally a bas Yisrael once she's niskadish to a kohen is allowed to start eating truma. Or actually, you know, I sort of said it inexactly yesterday. It's not right away when she's niskadish. Usually in those times, we know from many places in Shas that usually in those days there would be a period of time, usually a year, between the kedushin and the nisuin. Enough time for her to get together to get a wedding dress and to get the soda prepared and so on and so forth. Lefanas atatma is the expression in the Mishnah there. Once that period, the 12 months or whatever it is, has passed, even if they hadn't made the wedding yet, the Mishnah Rishon over there, the original halacha was that she's allowed to eat truma. So Rashi says, where's Midrabanan? Not because of the two reasons we mentioned yesterday. So Rashi's second explanation over here is we're not talking about a bas kohen, we're talking about a bas Yisrael. Again, if she were not an almana, for example, that, and she was married and she was engaged to the kohen gadol, fine, she may not tell her, she'd be able to eat truma at that point once the 12 months have passed. Since she's an almana and she's also to the kohen, then no. This is Tanakama, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin, Rabbi Lozer, and Rabbi Shimon say she is allowed to. Nis'amuloi nis'garshu, what happens if now these women become widowed or divorced? Depends. Mina nisuin psulis. If it happened after the nisuin, then they're possible to eat truma. Because we assume that nisuin goes together with bi'ilah. Usually that's the assumption. Therefore, at that point, she's become a chalala. Because the din is, we were talking before about the bia of somebody who's posel, the bia of somebody who's posel, who's also the kind of isur that's shava bakor, that applies to everybody, makes her a zayna. A bia with a kohen in a way where it's not allowed, for example, which is a grusha or chalutza or whatever, makes her a chalala. And a chalala is not allowed to eat truma. So if it was minisuin, what? No, they would get malchus, but in this case, we're talking about her husband died.
Right, but if he didn't die?
If he didn't die, he'd get malchus, yeah. But if after nisuin her husband died, she's still also to eat truma because she's a halala. because we assume that bia is taking place. I mean, erusin kasheris. Whereas if it was only after erusin, then she'll still be kosher to eat truma. Meaning, according to Rashi's first explanation, it means she can go back to truma de bein nasha. She can go back to eating from her father's truma. And according to the second explanation, it'll mean if she ever marries if she ever marries, for example, it's an almana, and she marries a kohen hediot, then she'll be able to eat truma. He would get malchus because ish zayna v'chalal lo yikach, or in the case of the kohen gadol, almana ugrusha v'chalal lo zayna, esel lo yikach t'lav. And he did Nisurin and he did Bia with one of these women and get Malkus. But we're not sure.
Because she's a Grusha.
Because she's a Grusha, or what have you, yeah. Anya, we're learning a Braise. The Gemara says, Amar Rameyer. Rameyer evidently is the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Kavachomer. I can make you a Kavachomer that these women, even after Erusin, should not be able to eat Truma. Uma kedusha reshus ein machilin. If you find that even kedusha reshus, meaning according to Rashi's first explanation, if a Yisrael is mekadosh a bas koyin, there's nothing wrong with that. Yisrael is allowed to marry a bas koyin, and ein machilin, and yet he's not allowed on that basis. She can't eat truma once she's niskadosh to him. Kedusha avera like koshkein. How much more so if it's kedusha avera in this case where she's a grusha and is not allowed to be marrying a koyin. Rashi says, I don't really like that explanation, though, because Rashi says, I mean, what's the logic? Of course, if a Yisrael is engaged to a Bas Koyin, she can't. Of course, if a Yisrael is engaged to a Bas Koyin, she can't eat truma. Also, Rashi has a problem. No, actually, that's not the problem. Rashi has the problem. Rashi has is that the language of the Gemara should say instead of ein machilin, it should say poislin. Of course, Yisrael doesn't make her machil. Of course, then she's a bas koyin. She's eating truma all this time. The line that the Gemara should be using is poislin. He parcels her from eating truma, and the Gemara is not saying that. It's ein machilin. So Rashi therefore prefers his own explanation. Now, if we're talking about a bas Yisrael, that we were saying, when Rav Meir's Kavachomer goes as follows: if a Yisrael is engaged to a Bas Yisrael, she can't eat Truma. How much more so if a Yisrael is? How much more so if a Koyin is marrying a Bas Yisrael who is possible to him that she shouldn't be able to eat Truma? No, she's a Zohar. That's all. She's a Zohar. She's not allowed to eat Truma, and if she does, she's Chayav Misa B'Deis Shemayim. And if she does it b'mezid, then if she does it not b'mezid, if she does it b'shoigig, then she'll have to pay a koyin the value. She'll have to pay the koyin that it was supposed to go to, the value of the truma plus a chomesh, and the value of the truma plus a chomesh. Tosfos in turn argues with Rashi. Tosfos says, I mean, what kind of a kavachomer would that be? Of course, a Yisrael who's engaged to a bas Yisrael, she can't eat truma. There's no tzad of kahuna over there. What kind of a kavachomer is that? So Tosfos says, better we should stick with Rashi's first explanation. He has a problem with the word poslin. You know what? There are arguments that say poslin instead of ein machilin. Anyway, Omer loy, the Chachamim answered him. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, evidently from the Mishnah, they answered him loy. No, you can't use that kavachomer. Imamar to be kedusha reshus shekain ein lahachol b'makom acher. You know that the difference is when it comes to kedusha reshus, when it comes to kedusha that he's allowed to do. He's not able to be machil her in a different circumstance. Kedusha Rishus. So according to Rashi's first explanation, which is also what Tosfos agrees with, we're talking that Yisrael was engaged to a bas koyin, not engaged, whatever. He did kedushin to a bas koyin. There's no aveira involved, and we're saying that the difference is that the chachamim are pointing out to the mayor shekain ein loy lahachol b'makom acher. There's no other place in which this Yisrael is going to be able to bring anybody to eat truma. He's a Yisrael. He has no power to have anybody able to eat truma. So therefore, fine. It's logical to say that even though it's kedusha reshus, it's a kedushin that he's allowed to do, but nevertheless she loses the opportunity to eat truma. How can you compare that to Kedusha Avera? She has, okay, it's true, fine, he's not allowed to be niskadosh to her, therefore she won't be able to eat truma. Well, so he's not allowed to be niskadosh to her, but let's say he has avodim, this kohen who has avodim. They're allowed to eat truma because of him. So we see, therefore, in other words, he has a strong enough... even after he marries a woman who's also to him, yeah. So, or at least when they're niskadosh, at any rate. So what we're saying is, in other words, that just because it's kedusha avera, but we see that doesn't take away his ability to make his slaves be able to eat truma. So why should it take away his? Why should it prevent her? Why should it prevent her from eating truma? Yes, fine. Once bia is done, she'll be a halala, then she'll be aser. But as long as there's only erusin, we should go according to the original din that an arusa is allowed to eat truma. She should be able to. Okay. It's a point, but still, I mean, they would agree. No, they would agree when it comes to the beer. The beer is definitely osir. They're arguing the kedusha in itself is not in and of itself an avera. What we're gonna be talking about though now is that what's Reb Meir's? Reb Meir's logic is we're gonna talk about it now is the concept that he brings in called mishamera sevi psula, meaning true right now she's not a halala and she's only miskadish to the sky because there was no beer yet. But what kind of beer is going to be resulting from this kedushin? A beer psula. This is called mishtameres lebiya psula. Like she's waiting, she's looking forward to a beer psula. According to the mayor, that already makes her possible at that point. Psua daka koyan shekidish bas Yisrael. If you have a koyan who's a psua daka, where he has an injury to his genitals, which we'll talk about in the ayins, we're going to have a whole sugya about the details of that, and including some very detailed discussions of the relevant anatomy. Now this koyan is a psua daka. The Torah says lo yovik psua daka krus shof habakal Hashem. That's an issur hashava b'kol. That's an issur which applies equally to all the Jewish people. Therefore, once this guy has relations with his wife, once he does nisurin and has relations with her, he's going to make her a halala. Or not a halala, he's going to make her a zoina, rather. Because it's an issur hashava b'kol.
That's across the board.
Yeah. So the problem is, here he was a mekadosh, a bas yisrael, so he only did kedushin. He hadn't done nisurin yet. Bonu the machlokas of Meir Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So now we come to the same kind of machlokas as we have in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir on the one side and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon on the other. Lirab Meir do Amar Mishtameres the Biyapsula da Raisa Lo Achla. According to Rabbi Meir, who says that as long as she's Mishtameres the Biyapsula, as long as she's looking forward to a beer that is possibly da Raisa Lo Achla, then she already at that point she's not allowed to eat. From that point, already from the kedushin, hanami la'ocha. In our case, of here, she also won't be able to eat truma because as soon as they have relations, she's going to become osir.
The psua daka.
Yeah, because psua daka is also midaraisa.
We're talking about minatora.
No, we're talking about any psula that's minatora.
We're talking about eating truma from a minatora because they make two zeros, right? Not to truma. The woman can't have truma.
Well, we said that in the end, an arusa can't eat truma anyway because of one of the two reasons. True. We're talking about over here according to the original din. And remember, according to Rashi's first explanation that we're talking about a bas koyin over here, we could still be talking about whether at this point she's able to eat truma de benasha, whether she's able to eat truma from her father's house. There wouldn't be the issue there of an arusa not eating truma, but according to the mayor, you would still say, since she's mishtameres, the b'yapsula, then already at that point she becomes disqualified.
According to the others, it would be a difference. Benasha.
Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, da'amri, mishtameres, the b'yapsula. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that even though she's mishtameres l'bia psula midaraisa, nevertheless she's still able to eat until the actual bia, hanami achla. Well, then by the same token over here, she's able to continue eating truma. Right, if we're talking truma de beinasha, Rashi's first explanation, then yeah, it means she can continue to eat truma de beinasha until they actually do the chuppah and the nisuin. Well, she's half married, then you guess at this point if they wanted to, but yeah. The Gemara asked me, Mai, who says that that's the same thing? Dilma ad kan like Amir of Elazar of Shimon Hasam, Ella de Yeshle Lahachel Mokmacher. Maybe you know what the difference is? In the case of our Mishnah, we just said before that it is possible for this Kayan to be Machel Mok. Actually, Machel Mokmacher doesn't necessarily mean slave, like I was saying before. It can mean this Kayan would be able to marry another wife who he would be able to be Machel. Yes, the one wife from our Mishnah that he's engaged to is a Grusha or Chalotzer or what have you. He's also to her. There's nothing preventing him from marrying another woman and being machil her. And she'd be able to eat truma. So in our mission of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon have a logical reason to say, given that he still retains his power to be machil his wife's truma, even now she may be in the shtameres to be a psula, but until that be a psula happens, he should still have that power.
What does Rabbi Meir
say? One second. He would say, okay, but still, because he said mishtameres to be a psula. They're not accepting mishtameres to be a psula as a factor. Yeah. Aval hocha ein lo lahachav mokamachar. But over here, over here, in the case of the Ptsua Daka, there is no way that he's going to be able to be machil anybody else. Who is he going to marry? He's also loving a kohol. He's not allowed to marry any Jewish woman, or at least any born Jewish woman. We'll talk soon about the question of gerim, whatever. But No, in other words, it doesn't matter about avadim. The point is, as far as marital relationships, there's no marital relationship that he has that's going to allow her, that's going to allow his wife to be oichel b'truma. So therefore, you could argue in that case, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would also agree that she's oser. Forget the Mishnah Meretz Lebi Apsula, but there's a factor that he himself does not have the power to ever be machil. You could answer, well, you know what, over here he does have the power to be machil. He could marry a daughter of Gerim, meaning not a woman who was Nisgaya herself, that would be also to him, but the daughter of, if you have a Gerim and a Giyoris married, and they had a child, the Kohen might be able to marry her. Maybe she's not considered part of the Kohal, maybe she's not considered part of Kal Hashem, and therefore he'd be able to marry her and be machil her b'truma. The problem is, does that work? We find, we'll have later down on the Amud, that Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Oshia precisely this question, whether Ptur Daka Koyin is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim, and if so, is she allowed to eat Truma? And Rabbi Oshia wasn't able to answer it.
Is a Bas Gerim allowed to marry?
That's what we're going to get to soon. We're going to get to that soon.
What's Halacha?
Wait. Bas Gerim means that both her parents are Gerim, exactly.
What is in Israel?
Then we'll get there. So you can't necessarily prove, unless you have a way to know for sure that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would say that a Kohen is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim, and we know we don't have a way to do that because Rabbi Oshia wasn't able to answer the question, then we can't necessarily say that this Kohen has any power to be machil b'makamachar, unlike the Kohen of our Mishnah, who, yes, he's in Skadish to a Grusha, but he can also be Makadish another woman and then be machil her. Itmar, and now they said, Taka, what would be the deal about this? Abaya Omar, Hoyle Machil below Yadah. Abaya says he would be able, that in this case, the Kohen Tzuadaka, if he's Makadish a woman, she would be able to eat Truma, Hoyle Machil below Yadah. Because there is a case actually where Tzuadaka is able to have his wife eat Truma, which we're going to talk about at the beginning of Perek HaOral, that suppose the Kohen was married to her previously, he became a Tzuadaka after he was married. If at that point he has relations with her, then we said he makes her a Chalala or a Zoyna or whatever, and then she's also to eat Truma. But if he lo yadah, if he never again has relations with her, then he never passes her. So we see that even if Kohen Tzuadaka has the capability of being machil,
only below Yadav.
So therefore, by the same logic, even though the kedushin over here we're talking about, he did kedushin after he became a Tzuadaka, and the kedushin or kedushi avera, because she's mishmeres the bia psula, but if they never do the bia, she's not going to become oser. Therefore, she should be able to eat on that basis. You can get married for other reasons, you know. Rav Amar, Rav says there's a different reason why you can say that he has the power to be machil. This is where the avodim come in. Because he has, forget about marital relationships, he has the capability of being machil, his slave, his avodim and shvachot, even after he's a tzurdaka. So therefore, again, so that should give us enough reason, Rav is saying, that he should be able to be machil, who, even though, according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon at least, even with this kedushin psulim, given that they don't accept the issue of Mishnah Meres Lebi Psula,
implying that otherwise you would not be able to.
Well, yeah. So now Abaya and Rava are each giving a different reason. Why each one is giving a different one? Abaya le Omaka Rava. Abaya does not agree with Rava's reason because he says kinyan de ishus, mikinyan de ishus yalfinan, vola yalfinan, kinyan de ishus, mikinyan de avadim. You want to learn a kinyan of ishus from a kinyan of ishus. The case over there where lo yadah. From the case of a hero, kedushin. You don't want to drag in avodim and shvachos, which is a whole different kind of relationship. V'rava lo yamak abaya, whereas Rava does not say like abaya. Shiny hasam shkar achla. The difference with the lo yadah case is she was already able to eat at some point. Here you're trying to make it that lachatchila she should be able to eat based on her kedushin to you, the kohen tzuadaka. Who says? Maybe lo yadah is a different case. That there at least she was able to eat truma before, and you're saying as long as they don't actually have relations, then she stays, she keeps her current heter. but to introduce a new heter that didn't exist before based on the fact that he's a psu adaka, maybe not. Abaya, and Abaya would answer to that. We don't hold of this concept that because she already ate, therefore we're gonna let things slide and allow her to continue eating just on that basis. Because otherwise, if you don't say like that, like we said yesterday, Bat Yisrael shenis is a kohen mis tehil. What are you gonna say? Bat Yisrael who marries a kohen and he dies should be able to continue eating shikar ochel because she was already eating? Obviously not. So just because at one time you were able to do something doesn't mean past performance is no guarantee of future results. Beloshen Ayadora. The Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He would answer, the difference is, Hasam Paka Kinyane. The difference is, of course, the husband died, therefore his kinyan is gone. There's no kinyan to talk about anymore because he's dead. Hachale Paka Kinyane. Here his kinyan still exists. She was already able to eat before he became a Ptsur Daka. His kinyan, they're still married, the marriage hasn't been dissolved by the fact that he became a Ptsur Daka. So yeah, as long as while you're done, then you're good.
And if I would answer to that,
please. Yeah, Kufa. Getting back to what we said before, we said Bar Minei Rabbi Yochanan Mirabai. She a Ptsur Daka Koyin Shenasa Bas Gerim Maor Shiachalene Betruma. If a Ptsur Daka Koyin marries a Bas Gerim, a woman who's the son, who's the daughter of a Ger and a Gioris, is the Kohen allowed to marry her, and Maor Shiachalene Betruma? Is he allowed to have her eat Truma? Is that considered a kosher marriage? Because since she's, precisely because she's Bas Gerim, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. There's three different opinions on the subject. Whether a Bas Gerim is considered, there's a few different opinions. Well, there's actually a few different overlapping machlokas in which the Gemara is going to deal with over here. One is whether a Kohen Ptsur Daka still has a dinim of a Kohen as far as who he's allowed to marry and who not. Number two, are Gerim considered Kal Hashem or not? Do we consider her to be a halala or a kosher?
The Baskerim.
So, Bominer, yeah, so he asks him that. The Gemara says, Ishtik, Vloyam Alev Lemidi. Rabboshi was quiet, he didn't answer anything. Losaif also Gaber Rabba Achrina. Later on, another great person came. Ubomine Milsach Rita, and he asked him something else, Upashatlay, and Roshi answered him, Umanu Rish Lakish, who was that other great person, Rish Lakish? Which, by the way, Tosfos points out over here an interesting historical sidelight. We know the famous story in Bava Metzia about Rish Lakish, that he was a bandit and whatever, and Rabbi Yochanan, and he's jumping across the river over there, and Rabbi Yochanan convinced him to do Tshuva and come learn Torah. Now, this story that we're talking about over here happened when Rabbi Oshia was young, because he was still a Talmud by Rabbi Oshia. And we see Rish Lakish was there, and he's called Gavra Rabba. Tosfos says, on that basis, evidently, what it means is Rish Lakish at one time had been a Talmud Chacham, then he went off the Derech and became a this bandit and gladiator and whatever else, and later on, Rabbi Yochanan convinced him to do tshuva and come back and become the great Talmud Chacham that he had started to become before.
From the Lashon Gavra Rabba?
From the Lashon over here that we see that even when Rabbi Yochanan was much younger and still learning by Rabbi Oshia, that already Rish Lakish was a Gavra Rabba, yeah. Having said that, Doris Rishonim discusses that, and he says, I don't really like that. He wants to say that whole story with Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish happened when they were teenagers, so therefore it's not really proof. Anyway. So, Amal Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Rabbi Oshia. So, what's going on over here? Rabbi Yochanan asked a question, you didn't answer him. Rish Lakish is asking a question and you're answering him. Alter Rabbi Yochanan Lab Gavar Rabba, who isn't Rabbi Yochanan also a great person? Doesn't he deserve an answer also? Amalei, Rabbi Oshia said, it's not that. It's not that I'm not answering him because I don't respect him. He asked me something which I don't have an answer to, which I have no way of solving. He asked of me milsa a matter de les la pasri, which there's no solution to. I don't know how to answer it. Okay. Now the Gemara analyzes. The Gemara has to analyze which of the three tanoim who speak up about this matter of a kohen marrying a regular kohen, not a ptsur daka, marrying a bas gerim. Which one of the three tanoim are we talking? Is this question according to? Laman, Eil Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a coin to Rabbi Yehuda, then there's no question. Ben Victor Shasei Kari, Ben La Victor Shasei Kari, La Achla. Then you would say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whether you say that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that Psur Daka maintains the status of a Kohen, or you would say not, because the Psur Daka, maybe he loses that status. But nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't be a problem. La Achla, there's no question. She would not be allowed to eat Truma. Why? If you retain the Kedusha of a Kohen, for sure she's not allowed to eat because she's also to be married to him. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds in Kedushin, in the last parak over there, when it discusses all the matters of Yuchsin and who's allowed to marry who, he says over there that the daughter of a ger is the same as the daughter of a cholo. The daughter of a cholo is possible to a Kohen, so is the daughter of a ger. So therefore, of course, she's possible to him, and of course, then she can't eat truma. If you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that because he's a Ptsua Daka, he loses the status of a Kayan, well then, that we said that. But if you say Ptsua Shasekoy, that a Kayan is never allowed to marry a Chalala. We know a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala. If he's still considered a Kohen for this purpose, Rabbi Yehuda holds the daughter of a Ger is considered a Chalala. So that's it. Nothing to talk about. The Elab Kedushasei Kohen Lo Achla. And if according to Rabbi Yehuda, he does not still have the Kedusha of a Kohen, he's sort of downgraded to like a Yisrael, she still wouldn't be able to eat from her. Dehamirin Kau Gerim Ikri Kol. Because in any case, then she wouldn't be able to marry him. Because Rabbi Yehuda also holds that the congregation of Gerim is also called part of Kal Hashem. Therefore, when the Torah says Lo Yomit Tzuadako Kurus Shachal B'Kal Hashem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that includes Gerim. So, however you look at it, whether you say that he's still a Kohen or whether you say that he's not a Kohen anymore, he's not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to marry this daughter of a Ger. So either way, of course, she's not eating Shruma. What would be the question? The Ilu Rabbi Yosi. Are you going to say that the question that Rabbi Yochanan's question was according to Rabbi Yosi? Then it's the other way around. Ben b'kedushasei kohen, ben lav b'kedushasei kohen, achla. Then it doesn't matter whether the kohen is still considered a kohen or whether he's not considered a kohen. According to Rabbi Yosi, there's no problem with the marriage. Rabbi Yosi, b'kedushasei kohen, achla. If he still has the kedusha of a kohen, meaning that he's not allowed to marry a zoino, chalala, etc., then it's not a problem. She can eat truma. Da'ama achder shenasagiris b'tikir l'kona. Because Rabbi Yosi holds there in kedushin that even if a ger marries a geyrus, and now their daughter has no Jewish blood in her at all that she, from both sides she's descended from gerim, nevertheless, a kohen is allowed to marry her. Their daughter is kasha l'kona. So then, so this Psua Daka would be able to marry her. And if this Psua Daka is no longer considered to be fully a kohen, then it's also fine. He's allowed to marry, then even though he's a Psua Daka, he's allowed to marry a ger, according to Rabbi Yosi, Dahama Kal Gerim La Ikri Kol, because Rabbi Yosi holds that Gerim are not considered part of Kal Hashem. So therefore, they're not considered part of Kal Hashem, therefore Psua Daka is allowed to marry him. So either way, this Kohen, Psua Daka, is allowed to marry this Bas Gerim. So again, according to Rabbi Yosi, there's no reason for Rabbi Yochanan to be asking the question, and no reason for Rabbi Oshia to be stumped by it.
What does Kal Hashem exactly mean?
Kal Hashem means the congregation of Hashem. But what does that mean? That's the Gemara discusses there in Kedushin. Does it only mean born Jews, or does it also include Gerim? That's the Machlokes. We're saying Rabbi Yehuda holds a Kal Gerim Ikri Kal, and Rabbi Yosi holds not. Ela Aliba Dehai Tana. So no, rather, the question of Rabbi Yochanan and the fact that Rabbi Oshia was stumped by it is according to the following Tana. The Tanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Isha Bas Gerim Leitinasa Lekona, a woman who is the daughter of Gerim, on both sides, in other words, should not marry a Kohen, Ad Shtehei Ima Miyisrael, unless her mother is from Yisrael, or her father, for that matter. As long as one of her parents is Jewish, is a born Jew, and the other one is a Ger, then it's fine. Yeah, but it means Ima. It can also be Ovya. It's one or the other. So in other words, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this woman is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So then, b'hachicham b'yalei. So the question boils down to this. Do we say kashrus mitos chaba, that in this case, so let's say, in other words, the question that Rabbi Yochanan had was not actually where it's bas gerim, where she's the daughter of both a ger and a geyrus. She has one Jewish parent. The question is, does that add a certain degree of kashrus to her? And therefore she's able to marry a Kohen, But not. But on the other hand, she's still not considered part of the kahal because one parent is a ger. So therefore, you would argue that she's allowed. So therefore, not like Rabbi Hoda who's saying that on the one hand, such a person is considered a halala, and on the other hand, they're considered part of Kal Hashem. Not like, and therefore, either way, they're also Turukayim. Not like Rabbi Yosi or Turukayim Tzodaka. Not like Rabbi Yosi who says that they're not part of the kahal and they are kosher l'kohuna, and therefore she'd be good either way. But rather, we're saying she's not. She is mutter to a kayin because she has one Jewish parent. But father or mother. But because her other parent is a ger or geyaris, maybe that does not make her part of the kahal. V'achla, and then she would be able to eat because then she's allowed to marry. Because then she's allowed to marry this kayin tzuadaka. She's part of the kahal. She's not part of the kahal, so she's allowed to marry a tzuadaka. She's kosher l'kohuna, and therefore she's allowed to marry the kayin. Or maybe you would say that also Kedusha, the Kedusha of the Jewish people, has been added to her, so she's considered part of the kahal. And then she's not able to eat because on the one hand, she's not also to the kohen because she has one Jewish parent, but on the other hand, because she's part of the kahal, she's also to a daka. Therefore, lo yachla. So that was the question. So what's the answer? Tashma. That's the question. We're not sure, according to this version, whether she's also to this kohen or not. Tashma. Ki osir of Acha Bachinina Medurayma, when Acha Bachinina came from the south, also Vaisim Asnisibiyada, he came to the yeshiva and he brought along with him a braisa. That says, Minayim Ptsuadaka Kohen Shanasa Basgerim Shmachil Betruma. How do we know that if a Kohen Ptsuadaka marries a Basgerim, the daughter of Gerim, that he is allowed to have her eat Truma? Shanem, because the Pasuk says, Kohen Ki Yikna Nefesh Kinyan Kasbe Vagoma, that if a Kohen buys somebody with his money, which also includes Kedushin, which is done with Kesef, then they're allowed to eat from it. Now, that's what the Braisa says. The Braisa doesn't specify anything further. But again, we have to consider the man. Who would that be according to? Ilay mil Rabbi Yehuda. Could it be according to Rabbi Yehuda? No. Ha'ama ben v'kter chasei chay ben lach v'kter chasei chay la'achla. He says that regardless of whether the Kohen retains his Kedusha or not, she's not, like we said before, either way, she's not part of the Kahal. She is part of the Kahal according to Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, she is considered a Halala. So no matter how you look at it, whether you look at him as a Kohen or you look at him as a Tzvodaka, either way, you can't marry her. According to Rabbi Yosi, what do you even need a pasuk for? According to Rabbi Yosi, we said the other way around. As a kohen, he's allowed to marry her because she's not a halala, she's kshera. As a tzuadaka, he is allowed to marry her because she's not considered part of the kahal. You don't need a separate pasuk for that. You don't need the kohen kinyan kasvot.
You can always use.
Elo lav lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Evidently, we need this braisa according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who was where we weren't sure. Whether she should be able to eat, whether she's legally married to him, whether she's lawfully married to him or not. And Ushmamina Kashrus Titoisva Babahla, which goes to show then that only Kashrus has been added to her. The fact that she became kosher to marry a Kohen, not Kedusha. She's still not considered part of the Kahal.
But I don't understand. How can she marry a Kohen and not be part of the Kahal? It's hard to figure out.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying now. I mean, those two things are orthogonal to each other. They're not related. One is that a kohen is only allowed to marry. He's not allowed to marry Isha Zoyn of a Halala Leikahu, but Isha Grusha and Isha Leikahu. So as long as
she's not part of Kahal, she can still marry him.
That's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yeah. But again, only because she would be able to marry him regardless of whether he was a Psuadaka or not. The fact that he's a Psuadaka doesn't hurt anything because she's not considered part of the call. Incidentally,
it's more important, in other words, than marrying a Kohen. She can marry a Kohen, but she's not part of.
She's not part of the call, so therefore she's also allowed to marry a Psuadaka, and therefore she's allowed to marry a Psuadaka Kohen. Also means she's allowed to marry a mamzer, for example, because she's not considered part of Kal Hashem. Yeah.
Okay.
Shmamina. Okay, so v'achla, and therefore she's able to eat shmamina. Okay, good, that proves it. Incidentally, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentioned, since we're not sure whether the halacha is like the blood of Yaakov or not, The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that it's not so much. It's because the Rishonim argue whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not. Therefore, in Shulchan Aruch it says that a kohen lachatchila should not marry a bas gerim, but if he did, b'diavad, we don't force him to get divorced.
Sure, geres.
A geres is obviously not. She's considered a zayin of halacha. Yeah. We'll actually have something about that. We'll talk about that in a few blocks. Actually, wait till the summer. Itmar. Now we had a new discussion. Rav Amar Yesh Chupal Psulis. Rav says that in the case of the Psulis from our Mishnah, for example, in Amon Lakhain Gadol, once they go into the Chupa, which again, the Chupa in Gemara terminology is what we call the Yichud Room, basically, there is a Chupa, meaning that Chupa has the effect. Even if they did not actually have relations, at that point she becomes Pasul. As soon as they do the Yichud, yeah. Or Shmuel Amar Ein Chupal Psulis. Shmuel says no. Until they actually do the Bia, she remains Kasher. So Shmuel says Abba, which means Rav, will agree to me that you don't say chupa lipsulis, but you know because chosim about shalosh shanim yemecha. If the baby is a child less than 3 years and 1 day old, because bia with her has no effect lahalacha. Therefore, ain la chupa. Therefore, the chupa doesn't either have an effect. In fact, we see that in a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Nida that sells out a bunch of dinim about a girl that only begin to apply to a girl once she's 3 years old. Under 3 years old, they don't. Namely, the Mishnah says, "Bas shalosh shanim yemecha miskadesh v'biya." A 3 year old and 1 day girl can be miskadesh v'biya. Obviously, those times were different than now. Also, if the Yavam has relations with her, he's kohen her, because at that point the bia is considered a significant thing in halacha. If she's an eishes ish and somebody has relations with her, he'd be chayiv misa. She wouldn't, obviously, because she's still a ktana. If somebody has relations with her when she's a nida, she makes him tamei. To the extent that the mishkav tachta, in the bed that he lies on, becomes just as tamei as ke'elyon shel zav, as the clothes of a zav. Namely, a nida herself, when she lies on a bed, makes it an avatuma. It's called tumas midras, which we've learned about before. A boil nida, somebody who has relations with a nida, if he sleeps on a bed, that bed doesn't become an avat tumah, it becomes a rishon tumah, which is the same degree of tumah as when a zav is wearing clothing, that his clothing is a rishon tumah. That's what we mean, latame mishkav tachtan ke'elyon. As opposed to if this girl is below 3 years old, even if she's a nida, and the halacha is a girl even from 1 day old can become tumah nida, but if he has beer with her when she's less than three, then he's not considered boil nida. He's just considered like somebody who touched a nida. So he himself becomes a rishon l'truma. And the bed that he sleeps on doesn't become anything. Nitzis l'koyin, furthermore, if this 3-year-old girl marries a koyin, a chelis p'truma, then she's able to eat truma at that point. Baal achad mekol p'sulin, if any person was posel to her, for example, cholol, mamzer, etc., has relations with her, pasla, then he passels her from truma de benasha. Which, what's the implication of all this? Bas shalosh shanim yem echad hu demifsul b'biya. So only a 3-year-old girl can become pasul through bia. That was the last thing we just said. Therefore, mifsul b'chupa. Therefore, chupa, according to Rav, will be enough to passel her as well. Yesh chupa l'psulis. But if she's less than 3, even the bia is not going to pass over her because the bia at that age is not considered to have any effect in halacha. She wouldn't become possible for chuppah either. That proves it. And then the Gemara, we'll leave the rest for tomorrow, but we'll continue tomorrow about the Shem, but the Gemara is going to continue that then we have a third opinion, that we had Rav saying as a blanket statement, yesh chuppah l'psulis, Shmuel saying no, and then we're going to have a third opinion that it's actually part of the same machlokas tanoim that we had before.
Not a bas gerim, a geres herself.
Wait until we get to Daf Samach in a couple of days, and then we'll talk about that.